Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto thee from God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, we commence this morning's worship singing Psalter number 342. The stanzas are 1, 2, and 3. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. Psalter number 342, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, the reading of the Holy Scriptures for this morning may be found in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10 and in the verses 32 through 52. Before that, we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thus far the reading, and we say once again, we read together God's holy word, the gospel according to Mark chapter 10. We begin reading with verse 32. And when they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, And the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou wouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant that unto us, that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of a good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thus far the reading, God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning that Caleb Verduin, son of Mr. and Mrs. Herman Verduin, is in the hospital. The family of Mr. John Lifting, whose brother passed away in the Netherlands. Laura Vanderhart had to be readmitted to the hospital. Mr. and Mrs. John and Thea de Kock were blessed with the birth of a baby daughter. Let us now together seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Most holy, ever faithful, and ever good-doing Lord, it is on the morning hour of this thy holy Sabbath day that we may all be together so within the walls of this thy house of prayer, that we may be gathered so round and about the testimony of the holy and the blessed word of the Lord. And then it behooves us that we may stand still for a moment, as we may stand upon the threshold of the service that is to be held, and that together we may beg of the Lord that the Lord himself will be near unto us, that the Holy Spirit on the morning hour of this day may abound amongst us, and that then there may be those who travel for their own account upon the all-decisive way unto a never-ending eternity, O Lord, that there may be those who may be stopped on the morning hour of this day, then they will leave this place different than that they have come to this place, because then they may leave it with its concern awakened in their heart. Then they may leave it with a void that the Lord has made so within. And then they will bow before God saying, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Will the Lord so come and be with us? Will the Lord so come and glorify his holy and his precious name? And will the Lord so come amongst us, and that then the kingdom of the Lord may be built on the morning hour of this day in this congregation, that it may then become evident that it is the Lord himself who has favored us, that it is the Lord himself who has come to bless us, that it is the Lord himself who has come to save us. Ah, wilt thou then also in a special way care for all of thy people in this congregation? They are never all the same, because amongst them there will also be a people, but they do not dare to give a name unto what they may feel in their bosom, because they are afraid. There are so many voices that always come up against it. There is so much that is against it. And then they say, oh, was it ever really true? Was it really of the Lord? Was it the Lord's work in my heart? Ah, if the Lord knows him in that way. May then this word this morning, may it then be for a strengthening this morning. May it then be for instruction this morning. And that the Lord will put his arms around them, and that they may taste of it in this morning hour, that the devil has nothing to say, because the Lord has come and the Lord has favored. Lord, remember all thy people. Feed them now this morning with a little hunger and with a little thirsting for the Lord himself, because thou knowest how often it can be so quiet, it can be so empty. Thou knowest how often that we go from day to day, and that we are from week to week, and that we have to say, ah, Lord, if thou wouldest once again speak into my heart, if there mayest be just a word today that the Lord may give a place in my heart, will the Lord remember them and will the Lord bless them, that in their own individual hearts, there may be just a little feasting this morning, because when the Lord so comes with that blessed word, when he opens the heart of his people, when he comes to strengthen, when he comes to assure, then there is a little feasting in the heart. And then they say, oh, what a wonder that the Lord has not cast me off, that he has not forgotten me, but that he comes to remember me. Will the Lord remember all the young people here? Bind them now unto the blessed word of God. And as they may grow older upon life's pathway, may it now be that that word of the Lord may be something that may be blessed unto these young hearts. And that these young hearts may have to say to the world, oh, world, just go away. Because I do not need the world, but I need the Lord. I need that I may be converted unto the Lord. Will the Lord care for the little children? May they also listen this morning. May they also understand this morning. And may then those little knees, may they bow before God. And may they say, oh Lord, that I may also receive a new heart. Will the Lord remember their elderly? Especially when we experience the weakness, the frailty of the body, as we may become older upon life's pathway. Oh, that it could be for them today, that they could simply say, Lord, it is not my body, but it is my soul for the great eternity. Will the Lord be mindful of their sick and their afflicted ones? And then we remember also the son who was taken to the hospital, and we pray that the Lord will be near unto him, heal the body, but above all that the Sabbath day may be a day upon a hospital bed, that there may lie a prayer in the heart. Will the Lord care for the family? And thou knowest also when one has passed away in the Netherlands, and then there is sorrow and there is grief. But also we as a people, this morning we may have heard how that a life has come to an end. May that be a testimony for all of us. And will the Lord then strengthen those who are in sorrow? And will the Lord help them and care for them? And the one who was readmitted to the hospital, we pray for her that the Lord will remember her and again care for her in all her ways, in that difficult way. Ah, may it be for her also, and above all, that it may lie simply in her heart, and that she could say, oh Lord, I do not need, but that I may be converted unto thee. We think of the young family who may have received a baby daughter, and then we may hear that all was well, and for this we may acknowledge the Lord, and then we may say this morning, could it be a little one that was born because that it must now be born again? Help the parents to beg the Lord for that little child that the Lord has entrusted unto them in this way. Care also for the brothers of the consistory here. Thou knowest how that they are without, not having their own pastor. Care for them, give the elders all what they stand in need of to perform these weighty duties. Give the deacons all what they need for the office entrusted unto them. Care for the elder who may read a service in the Dutch language also in this church here. Wilt thou strengthen him also and help him also? And may there also the word of the Lord be for a blessing amongst those people. And when in due time they hope again, and that they may come together, and that they may send a letter to one of thy servants, and then the letter will state, come over and help us. Oh, if the Lord, it is such a large flock here, Lord, if the Lord would remember them, and if the Lord would give unto them, that they may once again receive a servant of the Lord out of his hand, who may be a minister and who may be a shepherd amongst them, and who may be God's servant, and who may bring God's word unto them. But help them to pray for it. Help them to ask the Lord that the Lord would bless that and on their congregation in that way. Will the Lord give direction also in the meeting that is to come? Because only the Lord can direct, and only the Lord can place such a man forth before them. Will the Lord care for all his servants? Help them and strengthen them on this day, wherever they may be called upon to perform these labors. You may stand here at this place here, O Lord. May he labor today and may he experience today what that is that the Lord has sent him, and how the Lord has applied an handful of seed for him this morning, and how he may sow it in, and that the Lord may give direction and help, but then also for himself may he taste what he may handle. We ask it in the remission of all of our sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, we now continue with singing Psalter number 261. And while we sing, your offering may be received, and that the Lord may bless you and also your gift on the morning hour of this day. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy, triumph to his cause have brought. In his love and tender mercy, he had made salvation known. In the sight of every nation, he his righteousness had shown. 261 stanzas, 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation, we read in Luke 23, and the people stood beholding. And that means that upon the way to the cross, upon Golgotha, and there were always the people. And those people, they were always beholding him. And then you would say, what kind of people were they? Who were beholding at the Lord Jesus Christ as he was going to the cross, as he was nailed upon the cross. Well, congregation, some were mockers with the Savior who was standing in the breach between the Lord and holy and a just God and the Lord's people. And maybe you say, how is it possible that those people could mock him? Well, that is possible because those people did not know anything about the breach between God and our never-dying soul upon the way to eternity. There were those people, they wept, congregation, because they had so many emotions. They felt so sorry for him. They saw the blood, and they saw the wounds, and they just simply, they wept. But what was missing there, and that was a people who might smite upon their bosom, and who might say, ah, Lord, that is my sin. That is now my guilt, O Lord, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is nailed upon the cross because that I have sinned. That was missing there. The blood of the Savior was flowing away, and it all kind of remained the same. And you know something? That is awful. When you may be together, and when you may hear about the blood of the Savior that is flowing away, when you may hear about the price that is paid, when you may hear about an avenue that is opened unto the heart of the Father, when you may hear about a sacrifice that is the sacrifice of his life and his blood, and it all remains the same, congregation. You can come and you can go, and it all kind of remains the same. And then we have to say, what a wonder. What a wonder of God's grace. When it may become different. Like in Picture Butte here, in the Passion Weeks. What a wonder of God's grace. When it may become different in the hearts of people. When those hearts may be humbled, may be broken, when there may be sinners who may come upon their knees and who may bow before God and who may beg the Lord for that precious blood, for that price, that it may be applied unto their heart. You know, I'm thinking of my father, and my father was dying, and he was saying to us, he says, one drop of that precious blood of the Savior is enough to wash my sins away. He did not dare own that drop, congregation, but there was a hunger. There was simply a hunger for that drop of blood, knowing that only that drop of blood could save his soul for an ever-ending eternity, could wash and could cleanse him. I hope that also in your church here, I hope that there may be those who may plead that blood of the Savior. Perhaps this morning you may see one. Perhaps this morning you may see something of the way that he is going. And for this, I ask your attention for our text this morning. And that is verse 32, the first part, and verse 49, the first part. And there we read as follows, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And at verse 49, the first part, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Thus far our text. We place above these words, by a theme for this morning, Christ's last journey to Jerusalem. We have three main thoughts with the help of the Lord that we may illustrate our text amongst you this morning. In the first place, a leading Savior. In the second place, a speaking Savior. And in the third place, a saving Savior. So once again, beloved, then in the first place this morning, that is a leading Savior. He goeth before them, and he is going up on the way unto Gethsemane and unto Golgotha. In the second place, a speaking Savior. Because those people, they were amazed. Those people, they were afraid. And what they saw in the direction this was going. And then he stopped and he spoke unto them. And he spoke unto them saying that behold, he says, we go up to Jerusalem. And there I will be delivered into the hands of the enemy. They will mock me. They will smite me. They will spit upon me. And then the third day after he died upon the cross, he said, then I will be with you again, come to you again. Finally, a saving Savior. And I was that poor sinner. He's sitting there along the way. And he doesn't know the way. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know where to go with it. There's something in his heart there that he can't explain. But the whole world cannot take it away. There's something in his heart there. You know what he needs? He needs that he may be given to cry. He needs to cry, not to the world, but he needs to cry unto him of whom he has heard. I'll try to explain that to you this morning, and I hope there may be those who are criers this morning, simply who need to cry this morning, because of what God, but the Holy Spirit, has awakened in their heart. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus went before them, and there was something, congregation, in his bearing. And there was something that they saw in his appearance. And those disciples who had walked with him now for 3 years already. And there was such a zeal, such an holy zeal they saw upon him. And they could not understand it. They could not understand what that zeal was that was in and upon him going to Jerusalem. That's why it says in the Bible here, they were uneasy. That's why it says in the Bible here, they were afraid. Because their thoughts, they were so directed pertaining to that earthly kingdom. Their thoughts, they were so up on that it would all be pertaining to this world here below. Those hated Romans would be driven out and the kingdom would be reestablished into its former glory. But he never said anything about that. He never said anything pertaining to that kingdom unto them. And that's why they were afraid. Their beloved master never said anything pertaining to such a kingdom. But he went before them. And in going before them, he was saying unto them, come and follow me. Can you imagine how that they were concerned? Can you imagine when they see him going? How that they're amazed? Where is all this going? What will take place? And as they followed, what did those people then miss, congregation? What was them missing in their life? With all the love that was in their heart, because they loved him. And they loved him with all their heart. Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But they lived so in that first love. And now they do not understand that they were going to Jerusalem as so that there the Lamb of God could sacrifice himself. That they were going to Jerusalem so that he could stand in the breach between God and his people. They were going to Jerusalem so that the breach could be healed, beloved. I don't know if you know about the breach, but if you do know about the breach between God and your soul, then I do believe you have a hunger today that the breach may be healed, that you may hear something today How that breach is healed or can be healed, because then you need that breach may be healed. Otherwise, I have to sink away. I have to sink away forever in that breach. And now in their spiritual life, and they had not yet learned that there was an holy justice that was waiting. In their spiritual life, they had not yet learned that there was an holy justice that must be satisfied. Else we can never ever come into the kingdom that is above. That there is an holy wrath that must be carried away. Else it can never be right. That there is a law of the Lord upon which we have trampled, that it may be made whole, congregation. And they could not see that. They were in that first love. And they loved him with all their heart. And as they are following now, they are uneasy. As they are following now, they are afraid. A leading Savior. Do you know that that is always the same? And then when he leads those people, do you know that it's always going in the same direction? When he leads those people, do you know that it's always going then to Gethsemane, through Gethsemane, and unto Golgotha? And if you say, why? Why is that way? Well, so that his children, so that his people may be taught from above, pertaining to the healing of the breach, may be taught from above, pertaining to that a holy justice must be satisfied, may be taught from above, that a holy wrath must be carried away, may be taught from above, and that the law of God must be made whole, else it can never ever be that my soul can be saved. And when they may learn that, congregation, up on that way, then he goes before them, and in going, then he's always saying to them, take up your cross and follow me. And I don't know what that cross is then in your life today. I really don't know. But I came a long ways, and I in Franklin Lakes, in my study, I could not find a text for this morning. I could not find a word for this morning. And I bowed my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know these people. I haven't been there for so long, I don't know them. But the Lord knows them. The Lord knows each one of them this morning. He knows that congregation. And the Lord knows what is needed then. And the Lord knows what may be brought then. What may be brought unto them. Because God knows the hearts which he will visit then with that blessed word of God. When he will give it a place there. And then I do believe that the Lord gave me this word. And I do believe that I may bring that to you. And I know as we continue on, then we will see how that he will make a detour and how that he will go. Because there is one that is sitting along the wayside there in a moment. First, I want to show you. He goes before them, before those people. And they are blessed people. They are blessed people who may hear him, see him, and who may follow. Who may simply follow with all what is missing in their heart and in their life, with all the questions they have, but who may simply follow him, and who may take up that cross. Maybe it's a cross of missing. It's a cross of missing that you say, oh, minister, it is nothing but a big void in my life. It is nothing but one great question in my heart, and I don't know if it was ever right, if it was ever true. Well, then this morning, he says, take it up now. Take it up now. And with all your questions, just follow me then. Come then behind me. Maybe it is this morning that those people of the Lord, they are amongst you in it, the people of the Lord. Maybe it is this morning that they had to say, "Ach, Lord, it has been so long since thou hast spoken to my soul." You know, the old people used to say, the last visit is the best assurance. But sometimes it's so long between visits, eh? Between visits of the Lord, sometimes it's so long between them. And then we become so afraid, because then it becomes so empty. It becomes so dead in our heart then. And then we don't know it anymore, and we don't know the way anymore. And what a wonder when he says then, "Come then, follow me now." Because there is instruction in following then. Instruction in following him. Well, as I was saying, beloved, then the disciples, when they may see him going and follow him, they may see something that was amazing to them. Because you would say his mind would be entirely on the suffering and on the dying that is before him. Because that is the Son of Man, the Son of God, who became, also assumed the human nature unto himself. And in his human nature, that was now all upon him. And then he makes a detour. Yeah. He makes a detour. He does not go straight. But he makes a detour. And you know why he makes a detour? Because he knows where those people are. He knows each one of them. And he knows where they are sitting. Where they are sitting along the way. And he makes that detour up on the way to the cross. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, I just hope that the word of the Lord today, it may become with so much power, but that he makes a detour for your heart somewhere. And for where that heart is. And that he makes a detour on the morning out of this day. Because there is one sitting there. And maybe you say, "Well, tell us about him first, minister. Tell us about that man that is sitting there." Well, he was sitting there. His name is Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. And in his heart, there was something in his heart that maybe he couldn't even explain it. Maybe he couldn't even say 10 words about it. There was a void there. There was an emptiness there. And with that void and that emptiness, he was sitting there, a blind man. He was blind, but he also was a beggar. He was a beggar today. And as a beggar, he is sitting there, beloved. Are you also sitting there this morning? Maybe he thought, it can never happen. Maybe he thought, if he would just come by once, but maybe it will never happen. How did that take place there? Because a man by nature doesn't have that. With a lot of mockers there on the way. A lot of people who wept when they saw him under the cross. But they missed that. They missed that void. They missed that emptiness. They missed that need. They were saying, "Oh, if I could just cry to him." Well, you know, congregation, the Holy Spirit had opened that man's heart. He was blind. He was a beggar. But he could hear. And now in those last 3 years. And then he heard about him. He heard about how that he went about through the land. He heard about how that he would open the eyes of the blind. He heard about how that he would raise the dead. And then he thought, could that also be for me? There the Lord awakened. Awakened something in the heart of that man that a man by nature doesn't have. The Lord awakened a need. The Lord awakened a void. And that's the way he is sitting there. And now he's making a detour up on the way to the cross. Because there is a man, and he knows that. And that man needs to cry. He needs to cry, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy up on me. And that is why he is now up on the way. Let me now tell you something about a speaking Jesus. Because that faithful shepherd, as he is going, then he knows how it is in the heart of his loved ones, of his disciples, and he knows what is taking place there, and he sees their amazement. He sees their astonishment in the way that he is going. And he stops. And he says, behold. What a wonder, eh, when he stops. Oh, what a wonder when he speaks. Oh, when he speaks into that heart. That is full of questions. That is full of concerns. And that he will stop then upon the way. Before he goes any further, he says, behold. It is like he wants to say, stand still a moment. I have something to say to you. We are going to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, they will deliver me into the hands of the enemies. There in Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, and they will give me over into the Romans. And they will mock with me. They will spit upon me. And finally, the enemies, they will condemn me to die. And they will nail me upon the cross. Gentile hands will nail me upon the cross. And then the third day, there upon the cross, it would all be finished. It is finished, he said. And he said, on the third day, I will rise again. I will come back to you again as a living Savior. Oh, what a wonder. Oh, when they may receive that instruction. There he is saying, I go before you. It's going through Gethsemane. It's going over Golgotha. Come then and follow me so that you may learn that for my people, and there is now an only way, and that has been and will be opened unto the heart of the Father, so that you may learn that all of self will come to an end, because it is only this sacrifice, so that you may learn that all of your righteousnesses, they are but filthy rags. They cannot obtain, they cannot merit with my Father, so that you may learn that that holy justice is satisfied. And you know, that is something they did learn, that that holy justice must be satisfied. And all those people, they learned something about it, that that holy justice must be satisfied. And then all these people, they learn that they cannot. Then with all their experiences, with everything, it all comes to an end. Because then it is only that price. Then it is only the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying to them, he says, behold now, stand still a moment now. We are going. And there I will pay the price. And there I will open the kingdom for my Father's people. Oh, what a wonder. Did they understand everything? Oh, so easily. That wretched man always comes in between, you know. You know, the two brothers. And they come to him and they said, they have a question. They want to know about their place. They want to know about a place of honor. for themselves in glory there, that they may sit on his right and on his left hand. And I'm sure it came out of a heart of love, that request. But it must have hurt him deeply upon the way. And when he saw there how again, so immediately, it was only self. It was only my place. The loveliest flower. The flower of humility. That is a lovely flower when it may bloom in the garden of a regenerated heart. And when that is missing, then that evil eye always stands in between, always comes to the foreground. And we see that here. That beautiful flower, where I am nothing, in the deepest humility, bowing before him. Oh, we don't have it of ourselves. Eh? Only a gift of God. Only a gift of God. But what a beautiful flower that is, when it may bloom in that garden of that regenerated heart. That is to his honor, and it is to his glory. And because there his name is glorified in his people in such a way. And now that speaking Jesus, he comes now to Jericho, a poor sinner who hungers for that price that it may be paid. No, he didn't know it. In so many words, he didn't know it. But that was lying in his heart. He needed that price. He needed him. And there he's sitting along the wayside. And he heard that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Because young people, he was sitting there. But he had good ears. Although he was blind, he had good ears, sir. And I know you have good ears too. And I was hoping that you also may hear something this morning. In this house of God here. Not because of a man who has come here, but because of the word of the Lord this morning. I thought of the many young people here, and I thought, oh, they have ears too. And those ears hear so much of the world. Those ears hear so much pertaining to what is outside there. And what a wonder it would be if the Lord would give that those ears this morning, and that they would hear of these young people, of these children there, and that those ears would hear at the word of God. And what is the word of God saying, minister? Oh, the word of God is saying, is explaining now, a poor sinner. A poor sinner who is sitting there. And he hears now many footsteps. And he must have said, what's going on? What's coming there? And they did not say, Bartimaeus, this is your day. Put out both your hands, because many people are passing by, many alms today. No, they didn't say that. You know what they said? They said, that's Jesus of Nazareth, who is passing by. That's how they knew him. They knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, and the one who came out of Nazareth, and the one who had performed so many wonders. He's up on the way to Jerusalem. And again, their thoughts was, what will happen in Jerusalem? Again, their thoughts was pertaining to that earthly kingdom. And here's that man sitting there. And you know, when he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and then there's something in his heart. I know you need to know, and the Lord needs to show you that. Otherwise, you don't have that. But there is something in his heart there when he hears that. And that immediately it seemed like the hunger in that heart is now so focused, is now so directed, because he begins to cry. He begins to cry saying, Son of David, have mercy upon me. You notice something? You notice what he may know now? They say Jesus of Nazareth, and he cries, Son of David. It is like he wants to say, Thou art the promised one. Thou art the one. It is like he wants to say, there is nothing in this world that I need but that the Son of David may have mercy upon me. What a wonder. Have mercy upon me. And I say it now with the deepest respect. That was now music to the ears of that dear Savior as he's going up on the way. I know a little while ago he was disappointed in his people. Those who were with him when the sons of Zebedee came with the request. But now he hears something. Oh, his father has awakened it. Now he hears something that is desiring for something that he alone can give, that he alone can place in that individual heart. The mercy of God for my soul. You notice that he doesn't ask for anything yet as far as open my eyes or anything. Have mercy upon me. It is like he wants to say, please stop for me. Please stop for me. In that cry. And I thought about you. And I thought, I wonder if there are people in Picture Butte who need to cry this morning. You know, who need to pray this morning. Maybe I should say it that way. Who need to pray this morning. Is he passing by, minister? Oh, I believe it. I believe it in this blessed word that he's passing by. But are there people then who need to cry this morning? That cry that lies awakened in their heart. That cry which they don't really dare talk about to anybody. That cry which maybe they don't even understand what that is inside here. But when they hear that he is passing, then they long that they may pray, that they may cry. I know by nature we can sit here and we can be satisfied and we can go again and we can come back even tonight again. But you know something? I had a funeral the other day in Franklin Lakes. And I spoke on what Solomon says, because man is going to his long home. And there I may speak to the people how that we are all going to our long home. And you know what our long home is? If we are never converted, if we are never stopped, if there is never a time that he awakens in my heart, a void that the Lord alone can fill with the mercy that I may cry for, you know what our long home is then? Then our long home is with our King. And that's the king we have chosen. And that is the devil. And that is in a dark place. Where they will gnaw their tongue. Forever. And the whole world will. If they die unconverted. But you know something? those who belong to the Picture Butte congregation and who receive so much from God pertaining to His blessed word Sunday after Sunday and during the week. And if they have to die, and if their long home is with the devil in hell, then the sermons that the Lord gave, they will hang around their neck and they will sink them deeper and deeper into that abyss where you'll never cry anymore, where you'll never call anymore, but where they curse this Savior forever and forever. And then you have to do that and be there. Is there another long home, minister? Yes, there is. Jesus Christ speaks about that. There is a long home with the Father in heaven. He says in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I'll gather you unto myself so that you may be where I am. And that long home, that is now the home. And I know he's not saying it in so many words here, but that is now the home what a sinner begs for. That is now the mercy that a sinner cries for. That is now the begging that along the way, it wells up in his heart. It comes over his lips. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, congregation, may the Lord give that he may awaken such a cry in our heart, because otherwise it can never, ever be well. Because outside of this Savior, there is no way. There is nothing. Outside of this Savior, everything else comes to an end. Only that avenue that he opens, only that avenue upon which the Lord brings them, then he gathers them from the east and the west, and they're all brought upon that avenue. And I know they're not all that they can walk upon that avenue. Sometimes they are creepers upon that avenue. I'll tell you what. As long as you may be upon that avenue that he has opened, that means that the Holy Spirit has searched you, has come, and has awakened in your heart that need for him and what he has obtained for his church. We're going to sing together. Salt the number. Number 376. And the stanzas are 1, 4, and 6. Praise Jehovah for his love, God of gods, enthroned above. Praise the mighty King of kings, who alone doth wondrous things, for his mercy doth endure, ever faithful, ever sure. 376, 1, 4, and 6. Thank you. My beloved, our last main thought this morning, and that is pertaining to a saving Savior. He calls himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. And one would think that there would be so much in his human nature, that there would be so much for him to think upon. There would be so much the magnitude of what is before him that it would overwhelm him. And then in his heart of his Father, I come to pay the price. There is an holy zeal, and that it may all be finished. There is an holy longing, and that he may arise, for his church, and to lead them ever deeper and deeper into the knowledge of such an only a Savior. And then he hears a cry, and he stops. He stops upon the way. He shows there the great willingness, of that Savior to stop for such a sinner, for such a beggar, for such a crier. Perhaps you say, does that still take place, minister? Yes, it does. Whenever he gives that word, whenever he gives that amongst us, then he comes and he stops in that blessed word of God. Perhaps I should say, are there those who need to cry? Are there those who need to beg on the morning hour of this day? The people there, they said, be quiet. He is upon the way to Jerusalem, and he cannot stop for every beggar along the way. But you know, people like that, you can't stop them anymore. The whole world cannot stop those people anymore. Because what is awakened there is of the Lord. What is awakened there, that is the drawing power from heaven, and that draws that out of such a sinner. That is the drawing love of that Savior, that draws that out of such a sinner, and that is awakened from above. And that's why I say, and you cannot stop at those people anymore. They have nothing. But they need to cry. If you say, are you converted? They say, I am unconverted. If you say, do you have hope? They say, no, I have nothing, but I need to cry. I need to say, ach, Lord, can it then also be possible for me? Can the Lord then look upon such a one as I am? And there he stops. He always stops for those people. And then he said, bid him come. So maybe it was Peter and John. They go out there and they say, Bartimaeus, he's stopping. Bid him come, he says. That's always the wonderful task of the one who may bring his word. Because then even today, they may still say unto those, bid him come. He is stopping. And then Bartimaeus. All is quiet now. He does something that maybe you've thought about it and you thought, I wonder why. Because he takes his garment, that beggar's garment, and he drops it off. And maybe you think, why did he do that? He never did that before. Before, when they come to pick him up at night, did he put that garment around him like this? And he would stand up and he'd take the arm of whoever was coming to bring him home, and he would go home. And now he drops his garment in the dust there. I thought about that a lot for many years. I thought, why? And then one day I believe the Lord gave me a little instruction there. He wanted to stand there as a naked sinner. He wanted to stand there. For him, there was only one garment. And I'm not saying he knew that much about it yet. But in his desires, there was only one garment that he needed. And by standing there in that way, he wanted to say that there's only one garment that can clothe me. And that's that garment that he will obtain for his church and for his people. That is the only garment that can clothe me. That's what he's saying. And now all is quiet. He's standing there. It's remarkable. When he stands by him there, he doesn't cry anymore. His heart is, but he doesn't say anything anymore. You know why? There are times there's nothing to say anymore. Now the Lord has to speak. It is now, and I say it with the deepest respect, it is now on the Lord's side. For such a one, the Lord has to speak. Otherwise, there is nothing. There is nothing for him except that he may hear from him. And then he says, Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? Now you may say, there is not a better time for those people than when they may stand by him, being brought by him, brought her. There's not a better time for them when they may say what he can do for them. When they may say what they need. I wonder what he's going to say. Do you need, what do you need, Bartimaeus? That I might receive my sight. Why? What was he thinking of? Was he thinking of his sight to go out there in the snow and see everything? No. The last words explain that. He needed to look upon him. He needed to look upon a Savior who was going the way of Gethsemane and Golgotha. He needed to look upon him who would die upon the cross for the sins of his people. That I might receive my sight. That the Lord may give me eyes to look upon him. Because it says in the Bible here, and immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. Where are you sitting today? First, my young people. My young people, maybe you say, well, the minister is asking that I'm sitting in church here. That's true. You're sitting in church here. But I mean, I want you to think about it in a different way. Where are you sitting today, young people? As you sit in this church here, what I mean then is, what are your desires? What do you long for in this house of God here? That the man may say amen soon and that you can go again? Or are you sitting in this house of God and that you need something? Maybe your father and your mother don't know it. You don't dare talk about it. But you sit in this house of God here. And there is something in your heart that is kind of like a beggar. And maybe you said this morning, Lord, that I may be converted to. Maybe you go home this morning. And maybe you find a place all by yourself when you come home. And maybe you bow your knees there, my young people. And maybe you pray there. And you say, Lord, That poor man was sitting there along the wayside. And give me that place too. Give me also that place along the wayside. And where the whole world means nothing to me anymore. But where I need a new heart. And that I may be converted unto the Lord. Is that where you're sitting, young people? What I mean with that is that how it is? I hope so. I hope so. Because maybe you think, well, we have a long time yet. We're young yet. But I'm an old minister. And I'll tell you what. I've buried many young people like you. In my 25 years. I remember Joel. And Joel died on a Sunday night in a fiery crash. I remember how he was on a Saturday evening in my office. I said, Joel, I don't see you in catechism anymore. He said, I'm 17 years old. I said, don't make any difference. He said, I'll come back again. But he never came back no more because Sunday night he died. Because on Sunday night he wasn't sitting in the house of God. He was driving outside with his car. And he was going too fast. Fathers, I'll never forget when I went to get that father. And I stood by him, with him by the gurney in the funeral home. And Joel's head was a beautiful head of blonde hair. His body was totally crushed, but his head was perfect. And that father was hanging on the gurney. And he was rubbing over that hair. And he said, Joel, did I say enough to you? Did I say enough to you? You know what he meant, fathers? He meant, did I speak enough to you about what is needed upon the way to eternity? Where are you now, Joel? But Joel didn't say anything. You know why? Joel was dead. And he couldn't speak anymore. So if you are young today, and you're thinking there aren't a lot of tomorrows yet. No. The Bible says that our life is but a vapor, and it passes away. Fathers and mothers, what are you sitting today? On the side of the world? Oh, I'll tell you something. If I've seen one thing in 25 years, I've seen that the world is a big disappointment. When you come to the end of your life, because the world does not give you a thing. It all steps back and you go out by yourself. And if you have never cried like Bartimaeus, by the grace of God, having wrought it in your heart, then it can't be right. And it can't be well. Well, congregation, he was sitting there. And the wonder was not that he was sitting there, but that he was passing by. He was willing to make a little detour. Because he knows where they are. I hope there are many amongst you. And he will make those detours in his own time for that individual heart who may beg of him, simply a beggar, have mercy upon my soul. May the Lord bless this word unto your heart. Amen. Lord, and may we ask that of the Lord on the morning hour of this day, and that the word of God may be blessed into the heart of the people, and that as we go home together, that we may carry something with us in our individual heart. Care for our young and rising generation. Care for the fathers and the mothers. and the older ones bring us all safely up on our way to the place where we live, and bring us back again on the evening of this day, and that we may once again have thy word amongst us. It is only a gift. It is forfeited from our side. But, O Lord, when thou comest to bestow that gift, may it then be that we may experience individually something of that blessing for our own individual heart. Forgive all what is amiss. Bless now with thy grace, for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Congregation, the consistory wishes to announce the following, and that is that there will be a male members' meeting on Tuesday evening, March 29 at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of calling a minister. The duo set by the consistory for minister are Reverend A. Scott of Nunspeet and Reverend C. A. Van Dieren of Rijssen and Noord. There will also be a midweek service here on March the 31st at 7:30 p.m. by Reverend Sonneveld. And the duo set for the Bethesda Board of Trustees is Chris DeLeo and Chris Vossenbelt. Also, that there are the racks in the foyer. That's nothing. Okay. That's the end. We will close with singing Psalter number 440. 440 stanzas 4 and 5. I'll remember, O my Savior, how the years of joy and favor, like the dew on arid land, came to me from thy right hand. 440, 4 and 5. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord makes his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.